I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm trying to kick around a paper title based on Taylor Swift's It's Me, I'm the Problem, It's Me. I think we are the problem, not the eclipse itself.
Where's Lauren when we need a Swiftie?
We can't even keep Taylor Swift out of an eclipse episode?
No, apparently not.
Well, all things cosmic have become part of our brand here at Something Offbeat, and we're talking eclipse today, just not Taylor Swift or Travis Kelce's reaction to it.
No, today we're talking about how animals responded to 4 minutes of darkness in the middle of the day. I spoke with Dr. Adam Hartstone Rose. He's a professor of biological science at North Carolina State University.
We had a team everywhere. So we were this year at the Fort Worth Zoo, but we also had people joining a project that we called Solar Eclipse Safari. And this was a citizen science, a participatory science project where anybody in North America could use a set of tools that we created to use to record animal behavior observations themselves. And we got hundreds of them, probably about 700 people observed animals for us, all spanning from Texas all the way up through Canada. Unfortunately, we didn't get any from Mexico.
We'll have more with Dr. Hartstone Rose coming up. I'm Mike Rogers with Chris Blake, and this is Something Offbeat. Let's go back to 2017. Tell me how this all began.
Well, I had no interest in eclipses before. I had no interest in animal behavior during eclipses. It was basically all something that I stumbled into. And that's because I was a professor at the University of South Carolina and affiliated with the Riverbanks Zoo and Garden in 2017. And both of them are in Columbia, South Carolina, which was one of the few big cities directly on the path of that eclipse.
That total solar eclipse took place on August 21st of 2017. And in the U.S., it stretched from the Oregon coast all the way to Charleston, South Carolina. Other major cities in the path of totality included Kansas City and Nashville.
And prior to the eclipse, we kept getting a lot of communication from just sort of the general public asking us, what do animals do during eclipses? And they were curious about whether we were doing anything at the zoo. And so I put together a study. I actually kind of did two studies. So one was a formal study with trained researchers that I put all over the zoo. And also we gave brochures to everybody entering the zoo along with their eclipse glasses to try to get them to write down and record their own observations of the animals. And while I was not interested in the eclipse and I didn't think the animals were going to do anything interesting, I was completely wrong on both counts. The eclipse was amazing and the animals did amazing things.
Let's go back 7 years. What were some of the observations you made then?
The giraffes and the tortoises were memorable. We watched 17 species. And we categorized all of their behaviors into four categories. The first was no reaction. So a quarter of the species didn't do anything. And that was like some memorable animals like the grizzly bears. So there were a couple of really charismatic grizzly bears that just really could not be bothered to care at all, even though everybody around them was very excited about the eclipse. But then of the 75% of the species that had a reaction, most of them reacted as if it had become evening and into the night. And so they would go place like the place where they go during the evening. So a lot of animals are put up in a barn or brought into a building for the night. And so animals kind of went in that direction. The next most substantial category of behavior that we saw were anxiety-related behaviors. And we weren't sure why the animals were upset, but some of the animals appeared upset. And this last time around, we think we kind of answered that question. And then the last category was two species did behaviors that we couldn't categorize at all. One of them was this type of gibbon called a siamang, and they made these really strange calls, vocalizations. And then the second weirdest behavior we saw the whole day was the behavior of the Galapagos tortoises, who during totality, a couple of them started mating behaviors, which was amazing. But actually the weirdest behavior was what the people were doing. People went kind of crazy. It was a fun day had by all.
You can't blame them. The lights get dim. You're in the mood.
Yeah, the tortoises were really funny. People really were focusing on that. It turns out, I mean, I think that probably it was a one-off, but it is funny to think about, like, is this the kind of thing that triggers, like, very long-lived animals to actually, like, mate?
And the giraffes, they just kind of started running in circles.
Yeah, so most of the herd moved towards their evening barn. But it was upsetting to an individual or two, and they started running around. And as I'm sure you know, very similar behavior was seen in Dallas on Monday. Similar behavior was seen in Nashville in 2017. And there was actually an observation of wild giraffes in Africa that ran during an eclipse as well.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike, where were you during that 2017 eclipse?
We actually packed up the car and drove up to Missouri to be in the path of totality. They ran into some weather problems. There's a little bit of cloud cover, and that created some panic at the hotel. As everybody's, you know, got the map spread out. Okay, where can I go to get some sunshine? And we hit the road. We wound up in Columbia, Missouri, in a park. The clouds cleared, and we got to see it. It was amazing.
Was everyone staying at the hotel there for the eclipse for the most part?
That hotel was in Kansas City, and I a good portion of it. I couldn't tell you the exact percentage, but a lot of people in that hotel were there for the eclipse, and they were all scrambling that morning.
So you were part of that traffic that never materialized here in Dallas last week for our eclipse.
Believe me, it materialized in Missouri back in 2017. So what about you?
I was living in New York at the time and working in sports still at that point. So I was at a Jets practice and everyone went outside and passed some glasses around. We only had partial coverage in New York, though, as you just mentioned, where the path of that one was.
Working in New York. Look at you, big time in me.
Hey, you've been to training camps and spring trainings and things like that. You know, media facilities, media workrooms are not exactly the most glamorous places on the planet.
Well, you're not wrong about that. So this time around, what observations did you make here in this most recent eclipse that you can add on to this?
I think we figured out what happens. And the answer is that remarkably across essentially all species, they react as if they think that the evening has come. That they go into these nighttime behaviors. So they go to their barns. We watch one crocodile that really likes to be put in at night and hates being outside. He didn't move at all during, like, leading up to the eclipse. And then during the eclipse and after the eclipse, he checked both of the doors to make sure that he didn't miss being let in. And the tortoises that we watched in Fort Worth, they were so adamant about being let in that they pushed against their barn door so hard that it broke the door, like their door got jammed. They were so adamant.
Why would they want to be let in so badly?
Some animals think that they are left outside erroneously. For instance, the primates at Fort Worth, they got a little bit anxious because most of them are put inside, or they're basically all put inside for the evening. Some of them might have been upset about maybe they were forgotten for a meal that they were due or something like that. And this is true for, you know, the birds. Different flocks of birds clumped up. Nocturnal species wake up. But the only animals that really become very anxious, so some of the herbivores, so in Dallas, you guys saw the zebras running and the ostriches running. Occasionally, we have these reports of giraffe running. But the thing is that these animals, we think, are actually triggered not by the eclipse itself, but by the people who are excited about the eclipse. And so in places like the Dallas Zoo, where there was a huge crowd and people were very excited, as they should be, the animals had this strong reaction. But in places where the crowds were really calm, like in the Fort Worth Zoo, had a very low attendance on Monday. And in other places, we had people watch giraffes in two different places across America on Monday as well, where it was very quiet. Those giraffes remain calm as well.
That's interesting. I guess the applause and the cheering and the hooping and hollering when, you know, totality occurs, it has an effect on them, doesn't it?
It does have an effect, and it is interesting to think about. And I think what's more surprising about the fact that the animals are aware of us is that it really doesn't occur to us. I mean, of course, our own pets react to us. When you're excited, your dog is excited. When you move towards the leash, your dog is ready for a walk. It makes total sense that zoo animals would have this awareness and this relationship with visitors as well. They're paying attention to what's happening. And in scenarios where the visitors are more exuberant than normal and something slightly strange is happening, maybe they think they shouldn't be on the yard anymore, they should be inside or something like that, then that kind of minor level of excitement or anxiety, like, you know, kind of imagine, I always think about turning, like, their anxiety meters turn to like 1 or 2. But then if people are really like excited and exuberant, then it gets turned way up.
To go back to Dr. Hartstone Rose's reference off the top, are we the problem?
Well, it could be. There was a lot of cheering happening on the roof of our parking garage that day.
There was, and there's also one picture taken of you from that day that I love.
What was I doing or not doing?
Well, there are three of you at the table on the air that afternoon. You, your morning co-anchor Heather, and John, who was anchoring our eclipse coverage. When we reached the point of totality here, someone took a photo at the moment when John, being the true professional that he is, John is locked in the zone, doing his job. You and Heather, glasses on, just gazing up at the sky.
And what's wrong with that? You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I would remind you, the last time that Dallas was in the path of totality was 1878. The next time, it's not going to be until 2317. You take advantage of the moment while it's there.
Was a second in a lifetime for you that time?
Well, it was not in Dallas, but yeah, okay. All right, I see your point. Fine. Did anyone get a picture of me making out with my wife during totality?
I don't know if we did.
Yeah, I'll have to show you that one. Do you think they thought that it was evening, even though it happened in the middle of the day?
I think that that's the case, and that's what we see across birds and reptiles and mammals, including nocturnal birds and mammals as well.
So there wasn't any, you know, instance of them looking up when it got dark, you know, looking up at the sun and wondering what the heck is going on.
Occasionally, we have incidences where animals do look up. I think that it's erroneous to believe that any of them are looking at the sun. Humans seem to be peculiarly stupid about looking at the sun. Animals do not look at the sun. I used to get this question all the time. Should I be scared? Like, do I need to put glasses on my dog? And I always tell them, you know, as a fashion statement, I'm 100% for it. But as a safety precaution, it's not necessary. But animals were looking around. So I think that what we kind of categorize that as increased vigilance. So the animals feel like something is amiss and they're looking up. They're looking towards the sky. They might be looking to try to determine if there is a storm coming or if there's an aerial predator, for instance. So like a lot of the birds seem to be looking around to make sure that something's not coming and swooping in on them. But none of them are ever going to look at the sun itself.
Now, you've done this twice, and there's more to come. What is the single craziest thing you've heard about an animal doing during an eclipse?
I mean, it still goes back. So my favorite study ever was done during an eclipse in 1932. And it was a really complete study where the scientists involved, they put advertisements in newspapers all along the path of totality. And people, regular citizens, literally mailed in observations, and they got almost 500 observations. And what's great is that those observations span all sorts of animals, even some plants and a lot of insects. And in that paper, they talk about how people recorded birds getting really quiet during the eclipse. Some reported birds getting really loud during the eclipse. And there's actually a citation in that paper of a record of birds falling out of the sky dead. So I think that that's the most extreme observation. It's never been seen since, so I don't think we need to be too worried about our birds falling out of the sky dead, but we see crazy things. I mean, mating behavior. There was some beautiful footage actually from, I think it was, some was from Dallas. We saw some in Fort Worth of cranes doing kind of a mating dance, like jumping up and down and having this kind of social behavior. It's not super rare behavior, but it seems to have happened in proximity to the eclipse. So we see beautiful things. In fact, I think during an eclipse, when we're watching animal behavior, we happen to just be watching them really closely. And it's beautiful to watch animals and get to know and see what they're doing.
And I guess the study's not over, is it? Because it's not like this is the last eclipse we're ever going to have.
No, and people are so excited. I mean, as you know, hopefully your listeners are interested as well. People really want answers to these questions. And although we feel like we have a really strong answer now, there's always more research to be done. So we're looking ahead. There's the next total eclipse is passing through Iceland and into Spain. So that's an exciting opportunity. So we're going to translate our tools so that people in those countries can take those data. And then there's one passing through Gibraltar and North Africa and into Yemen. So that's going to be really amazing. And then the one that I'm excited about in 2030, there's an eclipse that's going through Southern Africa, then going clear across the Indian Ocean and touching down in Southern Australia as well. And that's going to give us the opportunity to watch some of these same species of animals, but in the wild and in an ecology where potentially we could be really alone with them and see what they do when people aren't influencing it.
My wife, my daughters and I, we've been talking about that one that's going to go through Gibraltar. I think that's in 3 years. We're going to try to be there for that one. So maybe I can be one of your volunteers.
I would love to have you. I'm going to be on the Rock of Gibraltar on August 2nd, 2027, for sure. And we're going to be seeing what those monkeys do.
We're going to run into you. That's exactly where we're going to be. I'm Mike Rogers, and thanks so much for listening to Something Offbeat. This episode written and produced by Lauren Barry and Chris Blake, with audio editing by Chris Blake, original music by Myron Kaplan, and editorial support from Cooper Mall. And to keep listening, please subscribe to us on the Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story that you think we should cover, please let us know about it. Send it to us at somethingoffbeat@odyssey. That's AUDACY.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.